Welcome back, everybody, to the Real Estate Success Strategies Podcast. My name is Michael, and I am your host. Today, we're going to be diving into a very, very popular topic, and I'm surprised I haven't even touched on this topic yet, but we're going to be talking about what is BRRRR investing. Now, we've hit on it a little bit in past episodes as we've been interviewing people, but we're going to jump into all the details and give you guys an exact rundown of what BRRRR investing is and how you can use it in your business. Well, it is February 23rd, a Tuesday morning, and I am here recording this, talking to you guys about BRRRR investing. So I was going through my topics of, hey, what should I talk about this week? And I noticed I hadn't really touched much on BRRRR investing and gone into depth about what it is. Now, if you are in real estate and you are just beginning, you've probably heard of this term, right? You've probably been on Bigger Pockets, or you probably follow Brandon Turner and you've heard of BRRRR investing. So you probably know the rundown, but if you don't, I want to give you a little gist about what it is. And you're like, Michael, what in the world is BRRRR investing? Well, BRRRR investing is B-R-R-R. That's how it's spelled, like BRRRR, like you're cold. And BRRRR, it's just an acronym for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, and then repeat. You could throw in on extra R if you want, make it four R's. And that is buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. And so BRRRR investing, pretty much what you're going to do is exactly what the acronym says. You're going to buy a house. You're going to buy it under market value. You're going to buy it where it needs work. You're going to renovate it. And you're going to turn this thing into something beautiful, something that is going to be rent ready. You're going to turn around after renovating it, put a tenant in there, and then refinance that property at the bank. Get a new loan, technically. And you're going to pull your money out that you invested. And so that's what BRRRR investing is. And so a lot of people, they come into their real estate journey and say, hey, should I do BRRRR investing? Like, I see everybody else doing it. I have friends. I see Brandon Turner doing it. I see so many people taking that avenue. Should I do it? And the question says, for me, the question that I give is, yes, if the numbers work. But you have to realize this is just another tool in your tool belt. The cool thing about real estate is we have all these different tools we can use. We can have all these different strategies, to say it in a different term. We have different strategies we can use in real estate. You can wholesale properties. You can flip them. You can keep them as rentals. And you can do the BRRRR investing style, right? There's so many. You can owner finance deals. So there's so many avenues. So whenever someone says, hey, what should I do? There's not technically one set thing you should do as a beginning investor. There's not one set, you know, strategy you should use. But obviously, you want to do what you're most comfortable with and what's best for your situation and what's best for that property. So if you're asking yourself, should I take part in BRRRR investing? Yeah, sure. If the numbers work, go for it. It's just another strategy in your tool belt. And you're like, well, why would I do it, right? Why should I do BRRRR investing, and what's the pros and cons of it? Well, one of the pros is it allows you to pull out your money that you invested, right? It lets you pull out, once you refinance that property, you can pull out the money you invested, like maybe that down payment. Let's say you put 20% down to get the loan. After you finance, if the numbers are right, you can pull out that $20,000 and get it back tax-free in your pocket. So that's a pro. The cons are, you know, if you're just getting into real estate, it may be harder for you to calculate what the values are going to be, you know, how much renovation costs. So it can kind of make BRRRR investing a little bit more tricky. But if you do buy the home cheap enough and you play your numbers safe on the renovation and you have your rent numbers correct, you shouldn't have a problem. So why should you do it? Well, the main reason, like we said, is for you to get your capital back and create cash flow long-term in that rental. So let's jump into each part of this acronym. Let's jump into each part of the BRRRR. Let's start with the buy. So the first step with the BRRRR investing method is the buy. And this is where you will make money in real estate, is on the buy, not on the sell, but on the buy. And this is in any form of real estate, right? And the reason why we say this, you make money on the buy, is because if you do not buy right, then you're not going to be able to sell it, right? If you do not buy at the right price and buy with enough equity, then you're not going to be able to turn around and sell a property, and you're not going to be able to capitalize on that asset. So you must buy right. And whenever it comes to BRRRR investing, we're looking for something that is under market value and something that we can spruce up, right? Now, I say this, and last week we talked about hotel deals. And if you don't know what hotel deals are, just go back to the last episode. But I say this, that you need to be looking for a house that needs renovating. But in reality, just look for a house that is under market value, because you can find a house that's nice and the seller is super motivated to sell. You may not even have to do all the work, right? You could buy it from the homeowner. It's in nice shape. You could turn around, put some tenants in it, maybe do a few small things and turn around and refinance it. So you don't necessarily have to buy a tear-down house that's, you know, that looks horrible or needs a lot of work. But technically, we just want to find something that's under market value. And if you're just beginning, I would look for a house that needs some work, right? And so, you know, you want to look for something that is well under market value, like I said, because if you buy something at market value and you put extra money into it and time, you know, you're going to end up coming out later not being able to refinance that property because you didn't buy it right. So that's why we say, you know, you want to buy it under market value. The second step of renovate, this is the fun part. This is where you get to go in and you get to have your contractors or you. It just depends on what your strategy is and what you prefer. But this is where you're going to go in and you're actually going to do all the work on the property. Now, you want to make sure your renovation costs are right. So what I would suggest you do if you're a beginning investor is go talk to a, you know, general contract that's trustworthy in your area. Someone who's built loyal customers, that works for maybe other investors, and have them look at the properties with you. Because this part right here is where a lot of people mess up. A lot of people mess up on the renovation cost and they end up messing up their whole BRRRR investing method because they didn't calculate repairs right. So buy right at first, get the right renovation cost, renovate the property, and renovate it in the way that it is tenant proof. What do I mean by tenant proof? Now, we don't want to go out on these properties and make them super extravagant where there's marble floors or, you know, there's just all this crazy, you know, fixtures. And it depends on what kind of property you're obviously you're renovating and what kind of renters, tenants you're looking for. But, you know, in most scenarios, if you're just getting into it, you want to make this tenant proof, right? So a lot of people choose like the LVP floors, this luxury vinyl plank, because it has like 10 or 20 year warranty and like you can't, those things are pretty much indestructible, right? You know, putting on fixtures that look nice and that make the property look super incredible, but you know, that don't cost an arm and a leg, right? So there's several things you can do. I would definitely go on Bigger Pockets, check that out, because they actually have some tips on how you can make properties tenant proof. I'm not going to provide that because they already have stuff available for you. So check out Bigger Pockets for that. That's a plug for you, Brandon. So renovate it in a way that it is going to be tenant proof and it's going to last you several years. So you're not going to have to renovate this thing in 2 or 3 years. Renovate it in a way that in 6, 7, 8 years is still, you know, in decent shape. It may need a few things and it may need paint touch up, things like that, but that you're going to not have to go in, replace the floors, things like that. And then once you're done with the renovation, go in there and rent it out to a solid tenant, right? Someone you have screened, you have done background checks with, and just someone who is not necessarily needing it, right? Because a lot of times I've found, and any other landlord will tell you, someone who needs it absolutely bad, sometimes they can be the ones who are worse. Now, I'm not saying all scenarios, but you want to really screen your tenants, and I would suggest doing a background check and just making sure that you have references. And I'm not talking about family references. Don't, if they put down family as their references, just don't even go there, okay? We want to find actual people, landlords, property managers that they have lived under and rented from, and get, you know, kind of get their story. So rent it out to great tenants, and then after that, refinance. Now, some banks have a seasoning period, and what I mean by that is that you have to hold that loan and you have to hold that property under so many months or so many, I don't know, so many years actually, but most banks just do 6 months or so. Some don't even have that anymore, but I would check with the bank you're going to be refinancing with and see, say, hey, what's my seasoning period on this loan? When can I refinance this? Pretty much just ask that question. When can I refinance this property? And they're going to tell you, oh, anytime, or 6 months or 12 months. So always be prepared. You should ask that before you go in so you know what to expect. But after you rent that out, you're going to refinance it and pull out your down payment that you put in, or the money that you put in, and get that back. So you can take that money and go buy more properties and do the same exact thing. Now you have to realize, when you're running your numbers, a lot of banks, they will only give you 75 to 80%, some even less, but 75 to 80%, like where I'm from, of the ARV, of the after repair value. So when I say that, this is what I mean. So let's say you buy this house for $100,000. It's in horrible shape. And you think that it's going to appraise at 200 after renovations and after you rent it out. So you think that after renovations, after renting it out, it's going to appraise for 200. Well, they're not going to give you $200,000 when you refinance that property. They're going to give you 75 to 80% of 200,000. So pretty much they just want you to have some skin in the game at least. They don't give you all the equity. Now you could keep that loan and do a home equity line of credit instead of refinancing and using your equity on a line of credit and pulling out. But if you were in this scenario, we're refinancing, so we won't get into that topic, but your ARV, your after repair value, is 200. So the bank, let's say, is only going to give you 75%, which is, in reality, I'm not good at math, so I'm going to pull up my calculator, which in reality is 150,000. So they're only going to give you 150,000. So you need to make sure that your all in is less than 150,000, right? In order for you to get all your money back. So you bought it for 100. Let's say the renovations are 40, right? So in this scenario, you'd get back 10. You'd get back 10,000, because 150 minus 140. That's how much profit you would make, plus the money that you put in, you'd get that back. And then you have a rental property that is cash flowing. And that's another thing. You need to make sure that when you refinance the property, that it's still going to cash flow. Because what's going to happen is, when you refinance that property, your loan payment's going to go up. So a lot of people, they run their numbers and they're like, oh, when I first get the loan, it's going to be making $300 or $400 a month. But what's it going to be after you refinance it? Because after you refinance it, that's when the true numbers are shown. What's that cash flow going to be? And there's a great resource for this. I would suggest you guys go to dealcheck.io. That is DealCheck. If you don't know, I love DealCheck. I use it all the time. And actually, I'll put a link in the description for you guys. But DealCheck is pretty much a deal analyzer app you can get on your Android, on your phone, on your computer. And they actually have a Burr Investing, kind of tab in there, and you can actually do that. But you know, you just need to make sure that you are anticipating a higher loan payment because you're refinancing at a higher value. So those are just the things to remember, and obviously always integrate your insurance, taxes, interest, all that fun stuff, which if you go into DealCheck and you put in those terms and you go in there and actually use what they have, they will integrate all that for you. Obviously, you have to put in all that work on the back end there in DealCheck, but they help you see those in real time. So you bought the property for $100,000. It needs a lot of work. You've renovated. You put $40,000 into work. You rented it out, let's say, for $1,500, or I don't know, in some areas, maybe $2,000. I can't get rent where I live for that much. Rent down here is like $600, $700 a month. But so let's just say in your scenario, it's $1,500 or $1,600. Then you turn around and 6 months later, you refinance it and you pull all your money out. Awesome. What's next? You can do it again. Take that money and buy another property. Renovate it, rent it out, refinance it, and keep the ball rolling. So many people, this is how they get, the ball rolling. My mentor, David, this is how he's been able to, you know, get 20 plus properties on a very part-time basis. Imagine if you just did this once a year. Imagine if you bought one property, renovated it, rented it out, and refinanced once a year. Something that would literally take you, if you are having contractors do the work for you. You have a property manager renting it out for you. Literally, all you're doing is finding the deal and finding the financing. Everything else, you know, is taking care of other people. Now, you are going to have to manage the project, things like that. Make sure it's cash flowing and, you know, the right tenants are in there and things like that. But technically, if you do it right and if you have the right team in place, this is something that you could do very, very part-time. Even if you're working full-time, you don't have all the time. Maybe you're working 60-plus hours a week. I don't know. I'm just coming up with stuff. Maybe you're, you know, you're in the military and you only have off on weekends. I don't know what it is. But you can do this very part-time. Imagine just doing one house every year. That's going to compound, right? Do one this year, next year. Imagine in 10 or 15 years you're having cash-flowing properties where you can just quit your day job, right? And some people, what they do is they do this faster than one a year. They'll do two or three. Some will even do 5 to 10 if they can, right? So let's say you did two or three and what that did over 5 years, right? Imagine that opportunity, the wealth you're building for you and your family. So that is BRRRR investing in a nutshell. If you guys would like to learn more about this, like I said, Bigger Pockets, check them out. They have a great community you can join, and they actually have a lot of resources on this. I know Brandon Turner, one of the founders of Bigger Pockets, loves this strategy. But the main things to remember when you're going into this is make sure your numbers are right. And I want to give you an example. And actually, I'm going to give you a good example. Casey Kelly. Casey, shout out to you. She's actually buying one of her first commercial properties, and she is actually in the Pride Real Estate Mastermind that I host, and she actually is closing on her first commercial, and her appraisal for the refinance of the property came back way, way higher than she thought. Okay, so for example, she was running her numbers worst case scenario, and this is what I would suggest you do. When you're running your numbers, run them as if it's the worst case scenario. So if something positive happens and you actually get a higher appraisal and rents go higher, you're going to make extra money. Because a lot of people, they budget and they actually run their numbers on the best case scenario. And then when something bad happens, something goes south, they're pretty messed up and they don't have any way to get out of the deal. So for you, especially in BRRRR investing like Casey did, shoot for the worst case scenario. What is this thing going to appraise for worst case scenario? She actually, her appraisal came back and she, I think it got appraised for $100,000 more. Sorry, Casey, I'm telling people all about your story, but I think it came back like $100,000 more than what she thought. And so one, she was going to be cash flowing anyways at the ARV that she calculated. So her after repair value, what she thought was going to be appraised for, she thought she was already going to be making amazing cash flow. And she still was going to be able to pull out her money, right? She was going to refinance at that lower ARV, get her money back, cash flow. But she did it in such a way that she ran her numbers on the worst case scenario. Then now that it appraised higher, she's going to be able to actually make a bunch of money on this deal when she refinances it. So listen, that's what happens when you run your numbers right. And that's the key with BRRRR investing. If you need help with running your numbers, go to Real Estate Success Group on Facebook. The Real Estate Success Group is actually my private community where you can go in there and post questions that you have about real estate investing. It's very small. I think there's only a few hundred of us in there, but you can join that, ask away, and if I don't have the answer, I will find someone who does. And that's not just about BRRRR investing. You can ask questions about anything in real estate, whether it's about financing or, you know, renovations, anything you have questions on, I would love to help. If you found value in this podcast, guys, go ahead, leave a review, hit the subscribe button, because we do this every week, and I love adding value to you all through this podcast. We've been able to reach thousands of people through this, and you know I want to help so many more people, but it takes you helping me out by hitting that subscribe button and leaving a review. And so many people, they throw this part off. They're like, I really need to leave a review. How does it even help? I promise you, every review helps, because if you leave a review, it tells Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, everything. It tells them that people are liking this podcast and they're going to share it with more people. They're going to push our podcast out to as many people as possible. And so that's the power of you leaving a review. So if you found value in this episode, do your boy a favor. Do me a favor. drop a review below and let me know what you liked about this show. And we'll see you again next week on the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, join the Real Estate Success Group. You won't regret it. See you guys.